And coming up next, it's the day before Christmas, December 23rd, 2018 edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. I will be chattering with you through this show and probably be gracing or cursing you with a long flashback to make up some of it, but some of it will be kind of current and a continuation of the homeless memorial out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center on the 20th of December, which I began a couple of days ago in a prior show. So don't go away. We're going to have that and plus a few corrections and even a mea culpa or two from yours truly. I may have overstepped myself in some things, and I want to step back before I get too deep in the ooze. So stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So, first a few announcements. Some of them are just repeats from what I did on Thursday. But why not? They're coming up, and you might want to know about them or be reminded of them again. Today, on Sunday the 23rd at 5:30, Food Not Bombs, which has a meal every Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 6, in front of the main post office, right next to the famous iron rot gate that they close at dusk to make sure that the rabble don't attempt to get shelter under the steps from the wind and rain and under the eaves, as has been the case in years past, although such rabble has usually been rousted on different occasions by police and rangers and other authorities from the state. But on this Sunday, later today, and I'm going to say today, but I'm recording this show actually on Saturday the 22nd, but for the purposes of listeners, this is Sunday the 23rd. At 5 o'clock, Food Not Bombs has announced they're going to have a special volunteer rain gear distribution of rubber boots, heavy socks, tarps, and other rain gear starting at 5 o'clock today. The meal starts at 4, and the rain gear distribution starts at 5. And what the email says around this is, we hope this will reduce the suffering of at least 250 of those living outside this winter. That's kind of a bunch of rain gear. This is a part of a global campaign. The message continues of Food Not Bombs to provide material support to low-income people. Local Food Not Bombs groups are handing out coats, winter caps, socks, scarves, and other survival items this season. They secured over 250 sets of rain gear, rubber boots, and tarps for $2 each from Orchard Supply when they were liquidating their inventory. Bombas Socks donated 250 pairs of heavy socks, and you can contact Food Not Bombs by phone at 800-884-1136. That's 800-884-1136. I think that number was out of commission for a while, and I haven't used it for some months, so I'm hoping it still works, but it is, it's on the browser, so I'm hoping that that works. If it doesn't work, give me a call on the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 831-423-4833. It's not a free number if you're dialing from some kind of payphone, but I can then try to redirect you. But anyway, 5 o'clock today, grab your rain gear before the rains hit. And that's likely to happen according to this latest report from one of the weather browsers on free radio I should say on the internet, is Monday, December 24th in the evening. Rain in the evening and breezy overnight. Temperatures down to 49 degrees. I guess that's better than it's been recently. And then not much rain, according to the forecast. So that sounds good for those outside and for those inside, too. Well, rain's good for all of us if we don't have to get soaked. So then tomorrow, December 24th, there's going to be a special noon meal at the Red Church, the Calvary Episcopal Church at Lincoln and Cedar. Normally the Monday night meal is at 6, as most regular listeners or regular eaters there may know. But I guess tomorrow it's going to be Monday because of, Christmas festivities for those who are able to be festive on Christmas. Then on the 25th, on Christmas Day, there's the annual traditional Feed the Community meal, which is going to be held in what always seems to me to be cramped quarters, but certainly more cramped than the Veterans Hall, but certainly indoors as well, although the line extends often outdoors, and I guess it might be chilly, but it's not going to be raining, at least according to that weather report I just read, on the noon meal on Christmas Day, which is going to be December 25th, which will be the day after tomorrow. That's going to be Tuesday. And that's at the Museum of Art and History, which is at the corner of Front and Cooper Streets. And it's kind of a fancy, ritzy collection of upscale food places that has taken the place of open space, maybe it's not entirely open space, but I've had some cranky things to say about access to bathrooms there. I don't know if things have gotten any better for people who just need to use restrooms and wish they were public. Or do you have to prove you're a patron, or you have to, prove you're an upscale dresser or something to that effect. At least that was the report some months ago. Maybe it's gotten better. I'd like to know if anyone has any new reports on that. Give me a call on the Huff line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And you'll educate all of us and maybe give us a basis for drawing a little attention to that situation. Some of us in the group Conscience and Action, which, who knows, may be coming back after vacation. I haven't heard anything really clearly from the Conscience and Action group yet. But they and Huff got together and raised a few voices around the closing of the Loudoun Nelson Center bathrooms for those who weren't patrons, and also the San Lorenzo Park bathrooms, which through meeting with city manager Martine Bernal and doing some rather public protests in front of Parks and Rec, Loudoun Nelson Center itself, and City Hall, and then meeting with manager Martine Bernal, as I said, we were able to encourage them, at least for a period of time, to keep those bathrooms, to reopen the bathrooms, closed for a year, but then to close them again and fence off the area. But now it seems they're open again, and so that's good news. And then also, if we're on the good news trail, sort of good news for those outside, I've noticed there were 3 porta-potties and wash stations when I went through the Ross Camp, or the Heroes Camp, as some call it, after the homeless folks rushed out into the streets to protect people and deal with injured people from an auto accident some months ago from that camp. It's also known as a number of other derogatory names, which you'll be able to hear some of the interviews I do later in this show. But I am told there's actually a 4th porta potty that's been put in. I don't know if that's true, but of course, the more such facilities, the better. And also, I'm told there are Sharps containers inside the porta potties, which is pretty important at a camp where folks are likely to be, some of them, to be using hard drugs and need someplace to safely dispose their needles. Since we have no civilized injection center like some countries do, and like some cities in this country have suggested they might do, San Francisco being one of them, but is still pussyfooting around on that one, you have to do it where you can get a private space. You have to shoot up if you need to, or you feel you need to, or that's where you're stuck, or that's what your delight is, if that's how you run your life. And rather than frighten the horses, scare the children, outrage the neighbors, and litter your bodies on the streets, you can do so inside a tent, and then you can dispose of the needles safely, which makes a hell of a lot more sense than, the criminalization process, which has been the go-to, fallback, default position of groups like Take Back Santa Cruz, and indeed the whole police establishment, as far as I know, with some exceptions, but not many, locally, and I'm afraid far too often in other cities, other states, and throughout the country. And another date to mark down the road a piece is Saturday evening, December 31st, which is the last night DIY do-it-yourself parade through Santa Cruz, which starts at the Saturn Cafe parking lot, which is about half a block or else behind the Saturn Cafe, which is located at Laurel and Pacific Avenues, and then you parade up Pacific Avenue and end with a music and drumming jam at the north end. Bring instruments, lights, family, friends is what the handout by Sherry Connable of SCAPL, Santa Cruz Political Education List. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it means, but there it is. Dress outrageously, playfully, winsomely, and just let your gorgeous and unique light shine. Power to the people and peace in the new year. And you can always kind of get some history of the DIY, which was attacked by police, or should we say, it was attacked is not a fair word to say, but the police and other agencies were highly critical of it. City Council was not particularly supportive of it. But people assembled anyway, in spite of the threat of repression and arrest and citation. And indeed, about 8 years ago, a number of people, Wes Modes and two others, were cited for walking in the parade without a permit. And they were actually convicted in court of it. But since then, the police have not proceeded with further citing and ticketing, and people have done this traditional parade, which they do without a permit. It's one of those anarchist occasions. That is to say, people assert their rights over the repressive shadow of government, which demands different things that often are coercive, extortive, not particularly required or necessary, and the attempt essentially to steal power away from the people. This is one of those occasions when people regain it. And again, it starts at 5 o'clock, Saturn Cafe, on Saturday, December 31st. So check it out. So I don't see much else on the Indie Bay website. That's indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, where I often post. I did post something last week, which people might find of note or useful in any event. It's a listing of Santa Cruz Police Department officers, and it essentially lists all the officers in the police department, the guys in blue and the gals in blue with the badges and the guns and the tasers and the batons and the squad cars and the Bearcat, you know, the armored vehicle, or should we say the armored-looking vehicle that they use, all for public safety, of course. So if, for example, you find an officer whose name you don't know, but you can see their badge number, then you can find out their name by going to this list. It took me a little while to get this list, and I was a little concerned that I didn't get it informally from that helpful police chief, Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills. But he, you know, it did actually happen eventually through the records department. It took me a while to do it. It also took me a while to get access to the citations, which we're still working on. We're still looking for volunteers to help us with. If you're interested in knowing just what the police department is doing, whether it's respecting the court's decision that homeless people should not be arrested, that it's cruel and unusual punishment to cite them or attempt to frighten them or drive them away from where they are survival sleeping, a decision that was made in the case of Boise, Idaho, with one of the defendants named Martin, the Martin v. Boise, as we call it, case. We're discussing that and continuing to receive reports on it and try to act on it to help protect people who are outside in Santa Cruz at the Huff meetings, which happen every Wednesday. That'll be coming up this next Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe. We've returned, for the moment, to weekly Huff meetings, where you can also come in, quaff coffee, sneer at us and leave if you don't feel like staying. But we invite you to stay, talk about what's going on outside, and maybe consider doing something about it in terms of forming connections between campsites. I mean, yes, there's one big campsite now that people tend to be going to, the Ross campsite, which seems to be expanding significantly. But I'm afraid, a temporary campsite. It's going to be there as long as, just until the police or the Caltrans authorities, it's a little unclear where it is to me yet. Oh, I think there was a story in yesterday's newspaper, yesterday's Sentinel, about that, which I'll kind of look over quickly and make some comments on probably. But we need to have, there are also plenty of other people throughout the city who are camping elsewhere. Some of them hidden away, some of them not so hidden. And if we can have connections between these folks so we know what's going on in terms of when police are showing up, what kinds of stories they're telling you, if your property is being confiscated or if you are being mistreated or if you're getting good treatment, if they're coming around with friendly advice, socks, and so forth, that's good to hear too. We need to know what's going on. And I think that the more we form a kind of a protective network, the more likely, well, we are to be protected. Otherwise, if waiting for the city authorities to protect you, even that wonderful progressive majority city council majority that is now in power, Crone, Brown, Cummins, and Glover, I think is it's rolling the dice. And usually with the city council, the dice are loaded mainly because of the tradition of the staff, the fact that we're in a city which is getting heavily gentrified, as seems to be pretty obvious if you look around. So use this police department listing if you want. Hopefully I'll be listing Parks and Rec Rangers, who are also notorious for, again, not giving camping tickets so much these days as get out of the park. Here's a $200 ticket for being in the park after dark. Or here's a stay-away order for a day or longer, which no court issued, which it wasn't the basis of a conviction of any kind, but which just because we decided we could do it because David Geraz has decided to pass that law at the city council and got his hack anti-homeless majority on the council to do it. Although I guess before him it was Lynn Robinson and Hillary Bryant and a whole series of essential right-wing anti-homeless council members. And that's something you might think, well, that's over. We have a 4-majority, 4-3 on the city council. We'll see. I'm not particularly optimistic. I've seen this before 20 years ago with also another Crone council, and he was there, and it quickly turned into the usual. In fact, in many ways, it was worse for activists who were trying to bring matters up. They were punished more heavily for raising issues because it revealed the hypocrisy of that city council, from which was elected in 1998 and essentially served until 2002. So before we get into the grim business of returning to the homeless memorial, though I think we kind of have gone through most of the reading of the names of the dead, if you'd like to review that, I'm going to try to post that on the Santa Cruz Indie Media website as well. But you can always go back to the Thursday show that I did 3 days ago. If you want to find past shows on free radio, you can go to the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and then look under Lost Shows, which is where we post these old shows. They're not, if you want to find them described, you can do that too. I put out descriptions of these shows on emails to the Huff email list. And if you want to be a part of the Huff email list, either send me an email at rnorse3, that's rnorse3@hotmail.com, rnorse3@hotmail.com, or give me a call on the Huff line at 423-4833, and I'll put you on. But before we get serious with continuing the homeless memorial, which it's a serious business, all these deaths, although it's, I've commented before on what I think of these memorials generally, but let's lighten up a bit, although lighten up kind of with an eye to what's really going on. Here's an old favorite of mine. I guess it's, almost 70 years old now. It's Stan Freberg's Green Christmas, which he put out, I think, in 1952, 53, around there. And, I've played it before, but it's 'tis the season to be greedy or merry, or both merry and greedy. Well, there's a little more compassion, at least in the show side of things, in the newspapers and so forth, before they continue with their business as usual, driving poor people away. So here it is, Green Christmas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Bah, humbug, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, the meeting will come to order, if you please. Are all the advertising people represented here?
Everyone except Amalgamated Cheese.
Well, if they're not here for the Christmas pitch, I can't help them find new ways of tying their product into Christmas. That's why I'm chairman of this board. Let's hear it for me.
Hear, hear, hear!
All right, Abercrombie, what are your people up to?
Oh, same thing as every year. 50,000 billboards showing Santa Claus pausing to refresh himself with our product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the public has come to expect that.
That's right. It's become tradition.
Fine, fine. You there, Crass. I suppose your company's running the usual magazine ad showing cartons of your cigarettes peeking out of the top of Santa's sack.
Better than that. This year we have him smoking one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It got Santa a little more rugged, too. Both sleeves rolled up and a tattoo on each arm. One of them says, Merry Christmas.
Well, what does the other one say?
Less tars.
Great stuff.
But Mr. Scrooge.
Well, who are you?
Bob Cratchit, sir. I've got a little spice company over in East Orange, New Jersey. Do I have to tie my product into Christmas?
What do you mean?
Well, I was just going to send cards out showing the three wise men following the Star of Bethlehem.
I get it. And they're bearing your spices. No, that's perfect.
No product in it. I was just going to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, period.
Well, that's a peculiar slogan.
Old hat, Cratchit. That went out with button shoes. You're a businessman. Christmas is something to take advantage of. A red and green bandwagon to jump on. A sentimental shot in the arm for sales. Listen.
Deck the halls with advertising, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Why you can be enterprising, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 bars of soap,
3 cans of peas,
2 breakfast foods, and some toothpaste on a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
5 tubeless tires,
4 quarts of gin,
3 cigars,
2 cigarettes, and some hair tonic on a pear tree. Chestnuts roasting.
Say, Mother, as sure as there's an X in Christmas, you can be sure those are Tiny Tim chestnuts roasting. Tiny Tim chestnuts are full-bodied, longer-lasting. This visible shell protects the nut. Now with XK29 added for people who can't roast after every meal.
Tiny Tim, chestnuts all the way.
Tiny Tim's roast hot like a chestnut hot. And they are mild, 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 mild.
Words to live by, Cratchit.
Oh, for you, maybe. Can't you just wish someone a Merry Christmas for the pure joy of doing it?
Why? What's the percentage in that? Let me show you how to make Christmas work for you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And please buy our beer.
There you go, Cratchit. That's Christmas with a purpose.
I know, but wait a minute. Don't you guys make enough profit the other 11 months? Christmas comes but once a year.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make. Hit it, boys.
Christmas comes but once a year, so you better make hay while the snow is falling. Oh, that's opportunity calling you.
Jingle bells, ba da ba da ba da. Rub your hands, December's here. What a wonderful time to be glad and merry.
Just so your mercenary too.
Buy an ad and show all the toys. Show all the toys up on the shelf.
Just make sure that you get a plug. You get a plug in for yourself. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better cash in while the spirit lingers. It's slipping through your fingers. Boy, don't you realize Christmas can be such a monetary joy?
Well, I guess you fellas will never change.
Why should we? Christmas has two S's in it, and they're both dollar signs.
Yeah, but they weren't there to begin with.
Huh?
The people keep hoping you'll remember, but you never do.
Remember what?
Whose birthday we're celebrating.
Well, don't get me wrong. The story of Christmas and its simplicity is a good thing. I buy that. It's just that we know a good thing when we see it.
But don't you realize Christmas has a significance, a meaning?
A sales curve. Wake up, Cratchit. It's later than you think.
I know, Mr. Scrooge. I know.
On the first day of Christmas, the advertising's there. With newspaper ads,
billboards too,
business Christmas cards,
and commercials on a pear tree.
Jingles here, jingles there, jingles all the way.
Dashing through the snow in a 50-foot coupe. O'er the fields we go, selling all the way. Deck the halls with advertising. What's the use of compromising? Fa-la-la-la-la.
And actually, Green Christmas was initially recorded and released, I think, in 1958. I was thinking of another Stan Freberg Christmas shindig recording that came out earlier. But I liked it, and I hope you did, too. I continue to like it every time I hear it. It's, well, there it was. So I want to kind of correct, I said it's kind of a mea culpa, an apology, or at least a sort of a clarification of a criticism I've had of council members Crone and Brown, and also of the two other so-called progressive majority members, now a majority, I should say, Glover and Cummins. I have been concerned and reported on this broadcast or past broadcasts that I was particularly upset that there was no agendizing of the need for action on December 11th or before December 11th to maintain an emergency rent freeze, which should have been put on the agenda on the 27th of November, and if not then on the December 4th special session, and certainly on the December 11th session. And this was kind of passed around by the mayor when I asked him this question. I got softballed a bit by, I couldn't get straight answers out of Sandy Brown when I emailed her this issue. When I talked to her about it and confronted her at city council, she actually either lied or misstated what had happened in terms of her having any communications with me. She hasn't. I've been kind of having this continual reminding of Sandy Brown's failure to keep her word on issues she's made publicly on the air, broadcast over this station, to require staff to at least send to them emails that request information that I think is important around police department activities and things that affect homeless people. And she's dutifully promised to do this and refused. Or declined, or just didn't happen, and this has been going on for years, 2 years since she was elected. And I continue to bring it up because I believe that persistently exposing the shortcomings or broken promises of council members is really an important thing to do, particularly if the council members at some level have good hearts, and particularly if they have done some good things, and Sandy Brown has. Most notably, she's required or allowed members of the public to put items, to have full discussions of consent agenda items, even in spite of the rules adopted under the administration of the Coonerty mayor in the about 10, 15 years ago, well, about 11 years ago, actually, they're more or less, Ryan Coonerty, which essentially put the consent agenda simply in the hands of the city council. That's where most items are in a typical session of the city council on the consent agenda. They're all voted on quickly, zipped through without any discussion. And if you do want to pull an item, you only get 2 minutes to talk about all and any items that were pulled. Unless some individual council member pulls the item, then it gets a fuller discussion, and other members of the public can also speak on the item and so forth. So this recently also became the practice at the Board of Supervisors, which had allowed members of the public to pull items from the consent agenda for particular individualized discussion and vote. Not so anymore, apparently, according to accounts I read recently in the last few months. It was the last month, actually. It might have even been December, maybe November, at the Santa Cruz Board of Supervisors. So the issue for me had to do with the really important rent freeze, which was ending and ended on December 11th, and the just eviction protection laws, and the danger that landlords would rush to pass rent raises and engage in evictions over the Christmas season, particularly because the incoming council, 4 members of the council, a majority, have already expressed their interest in rent control and just eviction protection. Even though Measure M was voted down, I think due in large part to huge amounts of money coming in from landlords, out-of-county landlord associations. So the issue that has come up is how do you get an item on the agenda? Members of the public can't do it unless they can get a council member to do it. And the council member supposedly has to do it through the mayor. The mayor is the person who sets the agenda. That's why the selection of the mayor, though the mayor is really just one of the city council, can become an important issue in city politics. And so, for example, the selection of the vice mayor, who the next year becomes the mayor traditionally, is also very important. And that's why it was sort of a coup of sorts when Justin Cummins, the incoming city council elected guy, was voted in to be vice mayor instead of Cynthia Matthews, who by tradition, that position of vice mayor goes to the person who in a previous election got the most votes, and she did at one point some elections back. But she would have been, she's a right-winger on homeless issues, on development issues, on police issues, and on city council procedure issues, too. Although perhaps not so much as some. In fact, I began calling her Two-Minute Matthews for good reason. David Chirazis wasn't the first to start restricting public comment to 2 minutes each, even if that left a whole lot of time which nobody used. Actually, it was filled in with the city council's jabbering back and forth and the staff's making long presentations, which the public could not really comment on, except if they could jam it into a 2 minute space, sometimes even less, sometimes a minute and a half, sometimes a minute. That's been the Chirazis record, and not a good one, as I pointed out to him with some regularity.